Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Cancel culture is very real. It is impacting not only Republican politicians and conservatives, it is increasingly impacting Christian ministries. It is evident that those who have a view not approved by the left will be silenced, or at least the attempt will be made. Apparently, a healthy debate on any subject is no longer permitted in the United States of America. My guest today is Dr. Frank Wright. He's the president and CEO at D. James Kennedy Ministries. He's served 34 years in ministry and professional leadership. His experience includes President and CEO at D. James Kennedy Ministries, President and COO at Salem Media Group, President and CEO at National Religious Broadcasters, CEO at D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship, and senior staff at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. He's an ordained elder in the Presbyterian Church in America, a theologically and politically conservative Christian denomination, and he's worked 24 years on Capitol Hill. Frank's board service includes Salem Media Group, Evangelism Explosion, Coral Ridge Ministries Media, Knox Theological Seminary, and the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Dr. Wright holds an earned doctorate, a PhD in Business Administration and Finance from Florida Atlantic University, where he also completed his bachelor's in international business. He's been married 39 years to Ruth Sims Wright. They have three adult children who reside in Boca Raton, Florida, who I'm sure there's no snow there. Right? No snow?
Not today.
Not today.
Yeah, tomorrow you never know. But
oh,
not
wow.
Today.
It's one of those issues. So you're currently the president and CEO at D. James Kennedy Ministries, and you became the target of cancel culture. How did that happen?
Well, Diane, it might even help people. In some calls that I've had recently, people have asked, what exactly is cancel culture? When you use that term, you and I are familiar with it, but perhaps not everyone is. It's essentially the strategy of the left to cut off debate. The argument against Christianity historically has been that it's not true. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. The Bible is full of errors. In other words, they've been factual arguments, arguments which we as Christians have been fine with entertaining and listening and defending because the Word of God is completely defensible. These days, though, it's no longer an argument about whether Christianity is true or not. Today, the argument is that Christianity is somehow intrinsically evil, that it so contradicts the zeitgeist or the spirit of the age of the culture that it's indefensible for anyone. And so rather than debate with us these days, they would rather just take us off the platforms of communication and distribution that we have so that our voices can no longer be heard. This is Germany in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. This is, first of all, marginalizing your opponents, then demonizing them, and then criminalizing what they do. And now we were on Lifetime for 3 years, broadcasting essentially the same kinds of programming in which we apply biblical truth to the great moral, cultural, and ethical questions of our day. All of a sudden, beginning around the middle to the end of January, our content was no longer acceptable on Lifetime. We did a program exposing Planned Parenthood's sale of baby body parts. Nope, no more of that. No more controversial programs. Two programs on George Soros. Nope, not acceptable. Even a program on the spiritual life of George Washington, not acceptable to Lifetime. So we were, after nearly 3 years, forced off of their network, and that has been the largest part of our syndication, a very expensive portion of our syndication, and we're scrambling to try to replace that even today.
So even George Washington was considered too controversial, his spiritual life.
Or some element in the program that they didn't like. But yes, exactly. I mean, they're basically sending us a message. We thought the program on George Washington's spiritual life would be sort of a softball to them. But they slammed it back pretty hard, essentially saying, whatever you submit, we're going to reject.
Wow. So however they define, Lifetime TV defines controversial, it was a no-go. And obviously they define, even to us, non-controversial issues like George Washington's spiritual life as an unacceptable.
Well, that's the issue,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
what is it about the friends at Lifetime that makes them uniquely capable of determining which is the controversial or non-controversial position on a whole range of cultural questions?
Yeah, back in October, they aired your documentary, Billionaire Radical George Soros and the Scheme to Remake America, and they didn't give you any pushback whatsoever.
We've never had any pushback in 2.5 years, two and three-quarter years, on any program we've ever aired on their network.
Wow.
The only thing has changed is something happened in January of 2021. Perhaps it's the fact that there's a new Justice mm-hmm. Department in Washington,
yeah.
D.C.
Yeah, probably so. I know that Christians under the Obama administration were labeled, basically equated with terrorists, domestic terrorists, in one of the reports towards the end of his second term that was issued. And do you think that the current Justice Department, the current administration views, you know, equates Christians as on the same level as domestic terrorists? At least
well,
their
Diane,
message...
Go
ahead.
There's an old expression in Washington, D.C. that personnel is policy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to understand the viewpoint of an administration, look at the people that they are trying to get confirmed at the State Department, at the Department of Justice, and all of the Department of Health and Human Services, all those agencies that would have some touch point on moral or ethical questions. And the early take on administration slate of candidates is such that one would not be unreasonable to assume there's an anti-Christian bias at some level.
Just the fact that Congressman Jerry Nadler said that basically God had no part in this current Congress. I think that gives, and other things that the Democratic Party has done, such as trying to remove under God when they said the Pledge of Allegiance, such as that at their convention. I mean, it's very clear that there's definitely an anti-Christian, anti-God bias in at least the Democratic Party. We just won't be more specific than that. But Representative Nadler's comment that God had no part in this Congress is very frightening. And the fact
Well, it's an indication that we use these words, we quote the scripture all the time, I don't think we generally give it the credence that it's due, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavenlies. The fact that all this cancel culture has risen to a peak of influence and utility, you might say, from the other side's point of view, and that all these things are happening together at the same time strongly suggests to us as believers that we are in a spiritual warfare like nothing we've seen in our lifetimes. We're only seeing the beginning of this. In the broadcast world, it isn't just being deplatformed off of Lifetime. It's Amazon denying web services to Parler. It's Visa and MasterCard denying credit card processing services to certain Christian and conservative organizations. There is a broad-ranged, and you can't help but argue, but planned and coordinated effort underway to constrain the speech of those with whom those on the progressive left disagree. It's flat-out viewpoint discrimination. I saw Amazon, you know, basically taking off of their website a whole collection of books, some from noted scholars published in peer-reviewed journals. Ryan T. Anderson at the Heritage Foundation comes to mind. So what we see, Diane, is a new generation of book burners.
Yeah.
Those who are going to decide for us what viewpoints you can read, what viewpoints you can listen to, and to make sure that the rest of them are not heard, or at least not widely heard, and later I doubt that they'll be heard legally at all.
So one of the first questions I have is, what are they afraid of? I mean,
that's been my question too, Diane. What is it about the free marketplace of ideas that is so fearful to them? You know, it was John Milton who, back in the 1600s, looking at, you know, basically censorship by the English Parliament on the publication of Bibles, who basically argued for the free, he didn't use this term, but for a free marketplace of ideas, in which he said, in the free marketplace, good ideas tend to rise, bad ideas tend to fall, and he said something to the effect that I've never seen truth, with a capital T, so he's talking about Scripture, ever suffer in a market, in the marketplace. And so why are they afraid? I think it's because of the weight of scrutiny that their ideas can't bear. Mm-hmm. They can't bear any legitimate scrutiny. They lose in rational argumentation. They certainly lose in any critical examination of the claims that they make. In other words, if they're going to claim something about progressivism, there ought to be empirical evidence that backs that up, and quite to the contrary, the evidence such as is there does not only not support them, it contradicts them.
Exactly.
So rather than fight the battle, a losing battle of ideas, let's just fight over who we're going to let share their ideas. And that's exactly, as I said at the outset, what was done by the National Socialists in Germany in the 1930s.
Exactly. If they can control the debate, they can control everything. We have more ability now with the internet at this point to obtain the opposing view from the progressives, but they're taking steps, of course, with social media. They're pretty much Facebook and Twitter, forget that, and so many other social media platforms that are being targeted. As you mentioned, Parler, has been taken down. So we do have alternative methods, but I mean, let's face it, not everyone in America has the internet, has the ability to get it in the internet, and aren't computer savvy, so it's still limited as to what we can get, and too many depend upon the mainstream media for their news.
Well, in theory, the digital marketplace of ideas, the web, ought to be the answer to this question.
Mm-hmm.
As platforms like Facebook sell every piece of information they can find on you, as Google manipulates search results so as to change your opinion on things in ways that you can't even feel or understand that they're doing, we begin to see that our problem today isn't just that the internet, it was the internet itself, it's the dominance of a dozen large tech companies who control the so-called marketplace of ideas in the digital realm. And so that can change. I think it actually will change over time. The left is not particularly enamored with the size of these digital tech companies either. But at any rate, they're going to have to be alternatives. They are being developed now.
Right.
You mentioned Parler. They lost their platform on Amazon Web Services, which is how they were able to deliver content to mobile applications. But now they've relaunched as a web-based application,
okay,
not dependent upon Amazon, mm-hmm, or Oracle or Microsoft or all of the basic, the big web
techs,
services providers. So in theory, the pendulum should swing back, but it's going to take a major investment of literally hundreds of millions of dollars by Christian mm-hmm, and conservative businessmen to make that happen.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hopefully it will swing back. I mean, big tech definitely holds a lot of sway, and the Democrats like the impact that big tech had on the November 3rd election and the two or so months following that election, when the debate over election integrity took place. But do you think that Lifetime TV would, if enough pressure was placed upon them, do you think that they would have a change of, that they'd change their policies and allow Truths That Transform to be once again aired?
I don't want to say no, but I don't have any confidence that would be the case. First of all, Lifetime is owned by another cable system, the name escapes me right now, but there's three or four cable channels that are owned by the same company,
okay,
and they're all woke. Mm. And it just took Lifetime a little bit longer to get woke. And sadly, what we're finding so far in our investigation of alternative carriage, as we look at some of these other networks, we're seeing the same thing that got us kicked off of Lifetime in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Even the little CW network that has a network of 300 either wholly owned or affiliate stations around the country, we tried to do basically a fairly small buy in among the second tier of CW stations, and that would be markets 100 and higher. In other words, not the top 100 population of America, the next 100.
Right.
And no, we were turned down for being too controversial, even for small-town America. So these are policies that are coming down from on high, so to speak, from the highest levels of corporate operations. And so I don't think pressure is going to work on them. In fact, I'm sort of astonished by we were paying well over $1 million a year for a 30-minute program on Sunday morning on Lifetime. I'm just sort of astonished for them to walk away from those kinds of dollars and over what they consider to be, you know, I suppose a principle on their part. But at any rate, it's part of what they are falling all over each other, trying to out-woke each other, mm-hmm. trying to show who's more woke.
Wow.
Mr. Potato Head just got...
Oh, yeah,
censored. So, I mean, listen, it's so ridiculous.
And Dr. Seuss, yeah, exactly.
It's laughable. It's absolutely laughable, but they get, you know, as long as the media is carrying water for them, they get a serious hearing on every one of these trite... Listen, Diane, we all know that around the world today, maybe half the world today, a good portion of the population of those nations woke up trying to make up their mind where they could find food
mm-hmm.
today.
Yeah.
And we have small-minded people trying to justify their own existence, making an argument that Mr. Potato Head is a threat, that there can no longer be a Mr. Potato Head. Now, I don't know what gender they're going to assign to that poor game, because if my recollection was the guy, the little Potato Head guy, had a mustache, so
yes,
I don't know what they're going to call him going forward.
Going to have to get rid of that. For sure.
Yeah. So it's silly. If it weren't so dangerous, we would just call it silly.
We're seeing America remade. This is definitely not the America that we grew up in. It's really not even the America that, you know, generations past would never have envisioned an America like this. And
well, it's not the America of the Constitution
either. That, you're right about that. But, you know, it just goes to show you that they do not understand what small town America wants. If CW turned you down, I mean, they don't understand what small town America want. And really what the majority of Americans want is they want the truth. They don't want it rewritten. They don't want it tainted.
Diane, you're being very charitable when you say they don't understand. How about this? They do understand and don't care.
Well, that's true. That's probably more true. And they want to control, as you're saying, control the narrative. And they will go out of their way, even turning down $1 million a year, which is what you guys are paying to be on Lifetime TV. They'll turn that down in order to control the narrative. And it's very frightening.
It is. You know, Diane, there's an old sequence in Lewis Carroll's famous work, Through the Looking Glass, a fictional work, and, you know, Alice in Wonderland and all of that. And the exchange goes like this. And the quote is from Humpty Dumpty. "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said in a rather scornful tone, "it means just what I choose it to mean, nothing more, nothing less." But Alice says, "The question is whether you can make words mean so many different things." And then Humpty Dumpty says, "No, the question is, which is to be master? That's all." These efforts to control speech are right out of George Orwell's 1984. And the only real question on the table is, who's going to be the master?
Yeah.
Who's going to submit? Mm-hmm. And, quite frankly, on our side, who's going to stand boldly for truth?
Yeah, and I commend you guys. But, yeah, I'm rereading 1984 right now. So, I commend you guys for not buckling under the pressure to conform to Lifetime TV's new policies, new demands. So what word of advice would you give to other ministries that are, you know, maybe may have their shows, their programming on television or even radio as far as that goes?
The TV piece is going to be very difficult to handle in the short run. It's a digital piece where people have to be very aggressive and energetic in identifying alternative means of delivery. If you're using MailChimp as your email provider, you need to find a backup system, because MailChimp has just changed their terms of service and they're going to start censoring content as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a credit card service provider, you need to find a backup credit card service provider. You need to find backups for everything you're doing that support your ministry efforts. And quite frankly, you need to start thinking about how, in a worst-case scenario, you're going to get your content out to the people that support you, to your donors.
Yeah.
And so we really are rethinking the whole landscape of communication, broadly speaking, from print communications to email to website, digital web communications to broadcast communications. All of this could be coming under duress in the very short run, and I think we're all going to need to work together here.
Totally agree. How can folks contact your ministry?
It's easy to find us at DJKM, the initials, DJKM, which stands for D. James Kennedy Ministries, DJKM.org, where you can find our weekly Truths That Transform television program, the one that Lifetime does not want you to see, and all of our other resources, digital and print resources as well.
Okay, fantastic. So it's DJKM.org. And I do encourage our listeners to go to that website because I know there's a lot of good stuff there. I mean, I have Dr. Kennedy's videos from when he was talking about the origins. I still have the video. Not that I have a VCR that will play them, but I have the videos. So
you must have been just a wee little lassie.
I was just barely born at that time. Exactly. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it. And again, thank you for your courage to stand up to Lifetime TV.
Thanks, Diane. Thanks for being our partner in this effort. There are few folks out there that we can count on these days to be strong in cultural engagement, but AFA is one of them, and we thank the Lord for you, too.
Okay, you take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, thanks.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFA of PA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afaofpa.org.